Today, on the exam room.
I'm sending my genes a message. Hey, I'm on this planet for a long time. I'm not being chased by wild dogs. I'll survive. So my genes then switch. And they say, okay, if my owner is going to be here for a long time, I don't need to clot his blood. I don't need to heal his wound. I need to protect him from cancer, from heart disease, from inflammation, from infections. So the genes switch to improve your immunity, decrease autoimmunity, improve your cardiovascular health. So you're basically sending your genes a message, I'm having a party on this planet. Mm. So if I had to summarize 10,000 well-being studies in a single line, it is basically tell your genes, I'm having a party on this planet. What are you gonna do if you are having a good time at a party? You're gonna stay at that party, right?
Welcome to the Exam Room Podcast, brought to you by the Physicians Committee. Hi, I'm the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll, raising health IQs coast to coast and around the world. Hi to the Exam Roomies listening in Spring Hill, Florida, Fairfield, California, and Vigo, Spain. Wherever you are, we appreciate you helping to make the world a healthier place. This is episode 50 of season 8, number 649 overall. And you know, usually we talk about meals, but today it's all about the feels. And with that in mind, here's a question to ponder. What if your mindset mattered more than your meals when it comes to your health? That is what we are exploring on the exam room today as we're joined by Dr. Amit Sood, better known as the Happiness Doctor. He has devoted his entire career to the science of smiles, and his resume is definitely worthy of a grin. Currently, he is the executive director of the Global Center for Resilience and Well-being, and he has published over 80 peer-reviewed articles on well-being. And speaking of authoring, he's also the author of the new book, It Takes You to Tango. On top of that, he previously was a professor of medicine and chair for student life and wellness at the Mayo Clinic. And so with all of these experiences together, what that adds up to is one beautifully blossoming learning tree for us to sit under together today. Certainly another reason to smile. So here's what we're getting into: the science of loneliness, the biology of connection, and how your self-worth directly affects your health. So Dr. Sood is going to help us understand how meaningful relationships and even the way that you speak to yourself can reduce inflammation, improve heart health, boost longevity, and lower your risk of depression. Indeed, his research directly shows that how you feel about yourself can impact your gene expression. And we're also going to learn today the one question that perhaps predicts longevity better than anything else, according to science. What is that question? We're going to find out. And if you are feeling lonely and isolated, Dr. Sood will share how you can learn to never feel lonely again and how to find self-acceptance in just 3 steps. So this extraordinary conversation comes to us from the Lotus Health Foundation Symposium in Rochester, Minnesota, just steps from the Mayo Clinic where Dr. Sood once practiced. And it all begins right now on the exam room.
I'm joined now by the author of the new book, It Takes You to Tango, Dr. Amit Sood. Thanks for being here, my friend.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much for being here, and thank you for watching.
I remember last year you were the keynote speaker at the gala, and I was just blown away by your presentation. It was so sincere and so from the heart, and it spoke to the connection that we all need to have with each other. And it comes at a time where society just seems to be growing more divided by the day on a global level. So on a personal note, I just want to thank you for bringing this message to us. This is definitely a health-focused podcast. So when it comes to building those relationships, having those connections in life, how important is that to our overall health?
It is extremely, extremely important. We know now at a molecular and genetic level, when we have a healthy connection with ourselves and with others, we have less inflammatory gene expression. We have less inflammatory markers in our blood. Our autonomic nervous system shifts towards vagus instead of the sympathetic nervous system. And that translates to better endothelial health, better vascular health, lower risk of hypertension, actually lower risk of cancer and stroke, and even higher longevity. Not to mention better sleep and lower risk of depression and anxiety and so on. So you pretty much, what do you want from life? A better health span, a higher lifespan, a higher place span, anything you want in life. You're likely to get it if you have a healthier relationship with yourself and with others.
All right, I'm going to borrow a phrase from my former colleague, Kevin McCarthy, who's a movie critic for Fox News, Fox 5 in Washington, D.C. He likes to geek out. So let's geek out about what it is we're talking about today. Help me understand what it is about these connections. I mean, really dive down. Is it the sharing of microbiome as we're in, you know, communal space? Is there something inside of us that happens that makes all of these positive changes? Like, what is it? You were talking about the molecular level, but really geek out with us, man. Take that deep dive.
Geek out. So basically, at the very core level, our human striving is, and which is true for many animals, is eat, do not get eaten, and reproduce.
Okay.
So this is appetitive, defensive, and reproductive drives. Now, my chances of survival are much higher if I have my buddy looking after my back,
yeah,
right? And if I have a social circle, if I'm in a tribe of 100, 150 people who will stand up for me when things are going to be difficult. And so that is when I relax. And I'm sending my genes a message, hey, I'm on this planet for a long time. I'm not being chased by wild dogs. I'll survive. So my genes then switch. And they say, okay, if my owner is going to be here for a long time, I don't need to clot his blood. I don't need to heal his wound. I need to protect him from cancer, from heart disease, from inflammation, from infections. So the genes switch to improve your immunity, decrease autoimmunity, improve your cardiovascular health. So that is what happens. So you're basically telling your genes, sending your genes a message, I'm having a party on this planet.
Mm.
So if I had to summarize 10,000 well-being studies in a single line, it is basically tell your genes, I'm having a party on this planet. What are you gonna do if you are having a good time at a party? You're gonna stay at that party, right? And,
right.
And by the way, I'm not only having a party on this planet, I am the DJ. I have a sense of purpose. I'm running the party.
Right.
So if you are the DJ, you're not going to leave the party in between.
Not if you want the paycheck at the
end of
the night.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, your entire system shifts towards higher longevity. I have a line in my head which says, universe protects the protector.
Mm.
So get in the business of protecting principles and values and people's self-worth, and the universe will keep you around and healthy longer.
How big of a connection circle does a person have to have? Do you see the greater benefit with the greater circle of friends? Or if somebody's a little bit more private but has that really close connection with just a handful of people, do they get the same benefit?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
A question to your question. On a day you've got 20 meetings versus another day you have 5 meetings, when do you feel lonelier?
Oh man, I don't know.
So 20 meetings.
20, you feel more lonely. That's an interesting, I never really thought about that.
Yeah. So what research shows is the more the number of meetings, the lonelier you feel. Because it's not the number of connections that matters, it's the depth, the quality.
Gotcha.
That is what matters. With 5 people, you can have good heart-to-heart, brain-to-brain discussion. With 20 people, you're just skimming the surface.
Right.
So a single rose can be my garden.
Gotcha.
Basically, so it's not the number of connections, it's the quality and depth of your connection. And by the way, you know, loneliness is more related to lack of self-acceptance and self-compassion. So the most important relationship you can have is, who's your best friend?
No,
I'm tricking you.
Myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're smart. So it is your connection with yourself that is the key.
Gotcha. Okay, because, you know, my wife and I, not to peel back the curtain too much. Like, we're relatively private people. Like, we both have these public jobs, but when the lights aren't on, the cameras aren't rolling, we just like to stay at home, and we're very much homebodies. But the depth of that connection is deep, and it is profound. You know, she's my reason and our dog for getting up in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a great thing.
And this is a guy who is in front of camera.
Yeah.
You know, so you're very public that way. But the reality is there is love 1.0, which is your love with your wife.
Yes.
But there is a love 2.0, which is your love for the entire universe.
Yes.
So the way I like to connect with people, I'm also a little bit of an introvert, but the way I like to connect with people is, when I see people, the first instinct I do is to send them a silent good wish from my heart.
Oh.
And so instead of feeling, because I used to feel judged a lot, you can see that I have a little Slumdog Millionaire accent.
It's all good, yeah. Man.
So, and my English is better now, but it was not good, 20 years ago. So I was pretty self-conscious. And so I realized that when I'm talking to people, I want to have authentic connection. And if I feel judged, I can't. So I started looking at people, knowing everybody's special and struggling, and sending them a silent good wish, a silent I wish you well. And that has absolutely enhanced my connection. The other thing I like to do is to look at people in their context. So I'm meeting you for the first time, Chuck, but I know that you are a brother, you are a son, you are a grandkid, you are a neighbor, you are a professional, you are a husband, we know, maybe you are a dad, I don't know that yet.
To the dog.
To the dog. I'm a dad to my 4.5-year-old.
Yeah.
So when I see you in that context, I see you as a very different human being compared to someone who is so well-spoken and a little threatening. If I just see you as you, I'm just kidding. You're not threatening.
Yeah, no, I hope not to be. I try to be warm and inviting, you know,
you
in
are.
Person on the show, whatever the case may be.
You are.
That's really interesting. So have there been studies about, you were talking about how you used to be a little bit more critical of yourself because of your accent. Have there been studies done on the health span and just overall health of people who are more self-critical versus those who give themselves more grace? That could be a difficult thing to measure. I'm just curious.
Well, you can measure self-worth using validated scales.
Yeah.
So there would be, I'm guessing, an indirect correlation between, because self-worth correlates eventually with self-regulation, which correlates with tobacco use and excessive calories and alcohol and exercising and all of that. So there would be a relationship between how critical you are about yourself and your longevity, both lifespan and health span. Let me tell you the studies that have been done. So people have looked at this one single question. There's one single question that can tell me how long you're going to live.
Mm.
And that is not your high blood pressure or diabetes or cholesterol, whatever it is. It is what you perceive. So if I ask you, how healthy do you think you are over a scale of 1 to 10? And if you say 1 is less and 10 is high. Now, if you said I am 9.5 versus you say, oh, I'm 4.5 or 5. If you said 9.5 and authentically, you're going to live longer and you will be well for the same level of morbidity. So if we have got two people, both have identical risk factors, but one feels that he's healthier or she's healthier, they're going to live longer.
And that goes back to the self-worth.
That
so if you feel healthier, you're going to continue to invest in yourself
exactly.
And do the things you need to do to actually
exactly.
Be healthy.
It translates to everything downstream. It translates because if I feel healthy, I feel purposeful. I feel worthy. I feel I must invest in my life. I feel I should have good relationship. I'm planning to be on this planet for the long term.
Yes.
And it changes my biology.
So that's getting that feeling of self-worth after years of self-loathing is not the easiest thing in the world. How do you get people to flip that script in the way that they treat themselves?
Yeah, self-worth, there is an epidemic of low self-worth today,
yeah.
Particularly among teenagers because of excessive comparison that is driven by social media. I compare myself with someone's carefully curated best self, while I am an ordinary person and I've got millions of potential comparisons, I walk away depleted every single time.
Yeah.
Right? So what I do is to do, instead of doing upward comparison, I try to also compare myself to someone who is struggling. Instead of competition-focused comparison, I do values-focused comparison. So I'm inspired by, actually, you, Chuck, in terms of your ability to reach people in 150 countries. That's
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
And 15 years ago, I could have been envious of you, that look, you have so much reach and I'm this little guy in Rochester, Minnesota. But no, I admire what you're doing. And this value-based comparison, this bi-directional upward and downward comparison, that is what actually enhances self-worth. So let me do a little, ask you a little question using a US dollar. And I'll just take out a dollar.
All
just
right.
To talk about self-worth. Now, this is a dollar. How many cents it has?
100.
100 cents
yes.
value. Now, I'm not going to crush it because I respect dollar, but assume I've crushed this dollar and I've marked on it. Now it's a shaggy, dirty dollar. What is its value?
100 cents.
Exactly. So that is the intrinsic value of this dollar.
Uh-huh.
Nothing can take away that. So that is our intrinsic value as a human being. What is your dollar value in the eyes of your grandma?
Oh man, she probably thought I was worth $1.5 million at least, you know, just priceless, brother.
Priceless, exactly.
Yeah.
So that is your value. So when we can have kids value themselves as priceless, they're not going to make bad decisions. They'll not sell their mind, their brain, or sometimes their soul to petty, you know, small decisions. So that's what I do. I try to help people move from contingent self-worth into intrinsic self-worth.
Gotcha. So this could be a difficult question to answer because we already said that, you know, if somebody has that sense of self-worth, they're going to continue to invest in themselves, do the things that they need to in order to be healthier, exercise, eat better. Is it possible to compare the importance in terms of overall health of nutrition, because this is a nutrition podcast primarily, how important those relationships are, those that self-worth is, and eating that healthy diet? Is the diet more important than the relationships? Is it a one-to-one? The relationships are more important? Like, as the microphone falls.
No, I think diet is extraordinarily important. It is the base of the pyramid.
Yeah.
Your diet, your exercise, your sleep, your relationships, and then your, you know, stress and other aspects of life. So diet is core. Actually, we know that people who eat healthier tend to feel happier, not just because they are healthier, but they feel happier and they're more willing to invest in relationships. If there's four wheels of an automobile, there's diet, exercise, sleep, and relationships.
Yeah.
So you don't say, and this is an all-wheel drive, by the way.
All right.
So there isn't one wheel that is more important than the other.
Okay.
So they are all equal. They're not competing. And by the way, diet is not just what you eat. It is what you're thinking as you're eating. It is how you're chewing. It is who you are with when you're eating. Because that's total nutrition. What are you hungry for? So when you feel you're hungry for uplifting emotions, then uplifting emotions can soothe you. And food is a great source of uplifting emotions. So I look at totality of nutrition. And totality of nutrition includes the food that you eat and the emotions that you feel, that you perceive.
And I would say that the relationship with food is very important as well. As long as we're talking relationships,
absolutely
huge.
Absolutely. One of the things I do with kids in particular is I try to have them track the history of the food that they're eating. So you're eating Fuji apples. You know where they came from? They were invented in Japan in 1800s. So you're connecting. So when kids know this tortilla has come from, you know, 20 generations of my ancestors, they sort of value it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been big about not wasting food and certainly having a very healthy, positive, nurturing connection with food and feeling grateful for every morsel that we get to eat.
Talk to us a little bit about this book with the time that we have remaining. It Takes You to Tango. I love the cover. You got a little tiny dancer on there. Shout out Elton John. Leverage the Science of Loneliness to Master the Art of Connection. We've been talking a lot about that here today, but there are a lot of lonely people out there in the world.
Unfortunately. So what I've realized is there's two kinds of loneliness. There is the lack of external connection, and there is the inner disconnection. And when I asked you, when do you feel lonelier, when you have 20 meetings or 5 meetings, actually what research shows is people who have 20 meetings are lonelier. Increasing people's external social connections does not decrease loneliness many times, and at least that is what research shows, large studies. It is improving people's self-worth. It is improving people's self-acceptance and self-compassion that enhance, that decreases their loneliness. So that's what I focus on in this book. So I've carved a 3-step path, which is to decrease self-rejection, to improve self-worth, and nurture self-love. As you can imagine, a lot of science, you know, given my focus on evidence and all that. So we carve a particular path for people to get rid of guilt, for example, and excessive shame and excessive guilt, and convert into, you know, action, compassion, and learning. For people to shift from unhealthy to healthy comparisons, and for people to develop authentic self-compassion, self-acceptance, and self-forgiveness. I know that's a mouthful, I've said too many words. Basically, the goal is to walk from this inner emptiness, inner disconnection, to feeling like this sage. The origin of this story as telling was my mom is about 100 pounds in weight, and half her body weight is her vocal cords. She likes to talk. So she told me this story as a kid. She said there was a sage sitting beneath a tree, and this guy said, and the sage was like lost. I don't know if it was meditation or some non-FDA approved product. Nevertheless, this gentleman walked to the sage, and the gentleman said, oh, you were sitting alone. I hope I didn't disturb you. The sage said, oh, I was with myself. And so I'm a very good company to me. So it struck in my head that if I can develop a healthy company with myself, first of all, I'll never be lonely. I'll be able to help people connect with themselves. And I love people. Yeah. I truly do. Yet I do not depend on people to feel good, to feel worthy. I think that's a good place to be. And so that is what this book is about, that journey.
It's like, it could be a lot of work, but very rewarding. You know, it seems it's a lot of what you're talking about here today seems very counter to the way that we're living right now, by and large, as a society, which means that the book's coming along at the right time. So I love the fact, again, like usually we talk nutrition here, man, but this is total health today.
Yes.
And it's a really deep conversation. And I really appreciate you and the work that you're doing, Dr. Sood.
Oh, thank you. You just said it's a lot. It would be very tough. That's my job, to make it simple. So I've tried to make it simple. If it is a lot of work, if it feels difficult, then I haven't done my job well.
Yeah, I'm talking about like just getting to know yourself, rediscover yourself, getting rid of that guilt, getting rid of that shame. That's a process for a lot of people.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That's a process.
A way to simplify it. It takes you, my friend, you to tango. Dr. Amit Sood, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you. Take care.
So, a short and powerful episode today. 20 good minutes. And if you enjoyed it, don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and nice review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever it is that you get your shows. And there is indeed a link to Dr. Sood's book, It Takes You to Tango, in the episode notes. Also in the episode notes, you can sign up to become an Exam Room VIP and automatically receive our exclusive newsletter just for being part of the club. And I actually just wrote about self-empowerment in our latest newsletter. Stacking those little victories along the way to eventually build a victory tower of health. Because let's face it, there are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days. But finding that silver lining, proving that your willpower is not a joke and that you can be a health food choosing powerhouse, even just once, doing it just once, can completely change the trajectory of your day, your week, and even your entire fitness and health journey. reminding yourself that you can do it just once can be the biggest thing ever and give you a reason to smile on that day. And I say reminding yourself because we all have these powers to overcome. Every single one of us does. We just have to remind ourselves that we are stronger than we give ourselves credit for. It's like Dr. Sood was talking about, how you talk to yourself, how you feel about yourself. That is a major factor in your physical health. It's not just about choosing an apple over ice cream, as I wrote about in the newsletter. Of course, the apple is the healthier option. Fewer calories, way less fat, it's anti-inflammatory, it's packed with nutrients, etc., etc., etc. But it's about more than that. It's about proving to yourself that you have the strength and the fortitude to leave the pint of Ben & Jerry's in the freezer. It's about proving to yourself that you deserve to be healthy. You deserve to be healthy. It's about giving yourself permission to choose health, even when it's not the easiest decision. In fact, the healthier path can be the harder path. But what you will learn is that you are game for the challenge. You are a warrior. You got this. And that is a reason to smile, isn't it? You stack that one day on top of the next day, on top of the next day, and all of those small little victories add up to a great big tower of health. That, again, is a reason to just beam ear to ear. And if you have another reason to smile, you have a health success story that you would like to share with us, we would love to hear from you. Give me an email, chuck@theweightlosschampion.com, or you can find me on X, on Facebook, on Instagram, @ChuckCarrollWLC. I want to know your success story. Give us a reason to smile. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm also looking forward to meeting a lot of you in Cleveland at the National Health Association conference coming up in just a couple of weeks now. There are links for tickets, discounted tickets, in the show notes, or you can visit healthscience.org. Use the code PCRM20 to get 20% off virtual tickets. You can join us from anywhere in the world or join us in person in Cleveland and get $100 off the cost of your ticket using the code PCRM100. So that's $100 off in-person tickets with the code PCRM100 or 20% off the cost of a virtual ticket using the code PCRM20. And the links and the codes are in the show description and in the episode notes. And here's what's happening with the exam room at this conference. On Sunday, June 29th, I'm going to be joined on stage by Drs. Joel Fuhrman, Stephen Esser, and Megan Grega. And we're going to be having this mega episode of the show with this all-star lineup of doctors. And I'm also going to be taping some other episodes throughout the conference that begins on Thursday, June 26th. Would love to see you guys there. I know Dr. Robin Shutkin's going to be in the house. Our friend Cyrus Kambata, he's going to be there. My good friend Maxim Segoin and his wife Ivy from Fit Vegan Coaching, they're going to be there. So many others. Would love to see you there. Again, links and the discount codes are in the show description and in the episode notes. And for today, that is going to wrap things up. I want to say thank you one more time to Dr. Amit Sood for being here and raising our health and our happiness IQs. And for everyone at the Physicians Committee, I am the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll. Thank you so very much for listening. And remember, as always, keep it plant-based.